Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films All About My Sisters, Fever Dream, and Lamb. Bah. Hi, David. How are you?
Doing just fine, Jill. I'm sure that was not a bah humbug that you were giving us there.
No, we're early for bah humbug, but it's a good idea.
Well, actually, a bah humbug is not appropriate because each one of these three films is a pretty good film. And I think the only thing that maybe they really have in common with each other is that each one centers on a woman or women. They are all movies that deal with women in one way or another, although in other ways, at least the first one is very different from the second two I want to talk about. The first one, All About My Sisters, is a documentary, and it was directed by a brand new filmmaker named Gwan Kyung, who is obviously really talented, and this is a really personal film from Gwan Kyung that deals very much with her own family, and she is interviewing. Much of the film consists of interviews that she did with members of her family, and then near the end of the film, she has some things to say herself. So here's what All About My Sisters is about, and again, this is a documentary, so it's very, very real stuff. Takes place, the whole sort of underlying subject of the film is the famous one-child policy in China, which then was modified to become a two-child policy in China. The whole idea of trying to prevent overpopulation by only allowing families to have one child, and then trying to make up for the lack of younger people by having two child anyway. So this movie starts when the filmmaker's parents are, they already had two daughters, which was allowed. They had two children, both daughters, but the father really wanted a son. So then they find out that the woman is pregnant again, and they find out that this child who is going to be born soon is also going to be a daughter. So they decided to abort that child, that fetus, even though it was very, very late in the pregnancy. And it was totally allowed and even encouraged in China at this time. In fact, practically required, I guess, around this time. So they did this using a medical injection method, and it didn't work. So the child was born and was then, as also apparently happened a great deal, was simply abandoned, was left on the street in a box as a newborn. So, amazingly, the child survived, the infant, the newborn, survived for several days, going on a week apparently, and was then found and rescued and adopted eventually by her uncle. So we now have this child who is now grown up and is now a filmmaker and is making a movie about this tremendously complicated and in so many ways tragic and in certain ways not totally tragic past. So as I said before, the film consists largely of interviews done just with video camera, probably with cell phone cameras, where the filmmaker is interviewing various people who were involved in all of this and then again speaks out herself near the end to some degree. The movie was shot over a period of about 7 years. I think it was even more than 7 years. So we really get a kind of a panorama of the family history here. And then, of course, totally wrapped up and tied up and entwined with all this is the history of China in recent years. And now the older sister of the family is now pregnant with her second child and wondering if it's going to be a boy, which is what her husband really wants, or whether it's going to be a baby girl, in which case maybe there will be another abortion. So these things are not buried in the past. They are living on very much into the present. I found All About My Sisters, first, it's a remarkable film, and it's an amazing achievement. It's almost 3 hours long, and I found about the first half of it to be absolutely riveting, as we're hearing these different interviews, seeing these different people on camera, hearing their stories, all kinds of people, ranging from the uncle who did the rescue to the younger members of the family. I found it absolutely riveting. You put together the pieces in your own mind as you get these different interviews and you pick up more bits and pieces of the family history and how this entwined with what was allowed in China at this time, what was required in China at that time, and so forth. The second half of the film becomes less focused. I thought it started to meander a bit, and I found it less fascinating. But as a whole, It's a remarkable movie, a remarkable document. Anybody interested in the kinds of universal issues facing women, dealing with pregnancy and so forth and so on, should absolutely try to seek this movie out. I'm delighted that it's gotten some distribution in the United States. We here in America are thinking a lot, at least I certainly am, a lot these days about issues having to do with childbirth and abortion and the rights of women and so forth over their reproductive activities, because there's a lot of stuff going on right now in America, especially in the Supreme Court and in the state of Texas that involve these things. Of course, the situation in China is drastically different, but some of the underlying universals are very pertinent to things that we are thinking about in America right now. All the more reason to seek out Fever Dream. It's a remarkable movie, as I said, and I think a remarkable document. Turning to our second couple of movies now, Jill, we are starting to get, you know, we are in the middle approximately of the merry month of October, and we are starting to get somewhere in the general direction of Halloween. So this has already been, as I've said more than once on our show, it's already been a good year for horror movies. And, of course, we're getting more as Halloween starts to draw near. So I want to talk about a couple of horror movies now, which are out right now. The first one, Fever Dream, is streaming on Netflix. They are both from abroad, from other countries, and they're both pretty interesting. I found them quite riveting to watch. Okay, so Fever Dream. I'm going to tell you where this movie hails from. It hails from Peru, Chile, Spain, Argentina, and the United States. That is to say, resources from all those countries were involved in making this film. The movie itself was filmed in Chile, and it is a Spanish-language movie. And it's a very complicated story, but I found it really quite riveting. The original title is Distancia de Rescate, which means distance of rescue, or rescue distance. And that ties in very – that's a better title for the movie, actually, than Fever Dream. Although I suppose it's less catchy. Rescue, the idea of the distance of rescue ties in very much with the story, because the story is very much, it's basically about two mothers who have very, very young children. One has a little boy, the other one has a little girl, and one of them is thinking a great deal about, she has anxieties about the safety of her little girl, and would she be able to rescue her little girl if this happened, if that happened? What if a little girl fell in the swimming pool? Would the mother be able to get there in time to fish her out? That sort of thing. That's what the title refers to. But the story itself fits the title. The way the story is told, I should say, fits the title, Fever Dream, because the story is told as kind of narrations within narrations, stories within stories, memories, recollections, little tales within stories and recollections and little tales. So you have to kind of pay attention to it, but it's not a confusing film. I found it always quite lucid as Fever Dreams go. So here's basically what it's about. We have a couple of women who encounter each other in this very lovely estate sort of out in the country, a very, very nice place. One of the women is out there for a brief stay, say of a couple of months with her little boy. The other woman lives right there in the area with her little girl. And we then start to get stories of what has happened to these two women. And the main story concerns the woman who has a little boy. And she is recounting something that happened to her and her little boy. Her husband was involved in this scheme to make a bunch of money by sort of temporarily getting custody of a very valuable horse and breeding the horse and having a colt, which would then be worth a lot of money. And it's all very, it has to be done while the owner of the horse is away. And anyway, the horse gets very, very sick and dies. This is not especially troubling. No animals apparently were harmed in the making of this film, but the horse gets sick and dies. However, the little boy, who is just a little boy, also gets very sick, and it looks like he's going to die too. Something has poisoned the horse and the little boy. So the mother, in her desperation, goes to seek out a sort of a mystic who lives not too terribly far away. And the mystic says, yes, this little boy has been poisoned. He is very, very sick. He is going to die. Maybe I can save him by doing, and remember, this woman is a mystic, by doing a migration. That's what she calls it. So here's how things are going to work with this migration. Some of the little boy's soul is going to go somewhere else, into somebody else. The little boy will then survive, but will never be the same again. He will now be forever different. So, okay, he's either that or he's going to die. So the mother agrees to have the migration done, and the story takes on from there. We have to figure out just what this migration means. What does it mean that part of his soul is in another person? Who would that other person be? Et cetera, et cetera. So as I say, it's a complicated story. It's a story that has to do with both mothers and with their anxieties over their very, very little children, and with the idea of trying to rescue your child if some sort of terrible danger pops up. And it's all very mystical and very supernatural and very strange. Or maybe it isn't supernatural. Maybe all of this is just sort of the delusions of people who believe in these impossible things. That's for us to decide as we watch the movie. It's a complicated story. Every once in a while, you have to really sort of sit up and figure out just what's been going on here. But I found it really, really quite fascinating. And it's beautifully filmed. It's filmed in the story of a sort of slowly unfolding fever dream. It all starts with a very distressing pregnant. Present. We find that somebody feels that she is completely occupied by worms, not worms like in the earth, but worms that somehow invade your body. And that becomes a theme of the film, the poison that got into the horse, the poison that got into the little kid, how you're going to combat these things. And then near the end, there's a sort of an ecological environmentalist surprise that comes into the film as well, which makes it all the more relevant to so many of today's real concerns in the actual world. So again, it's streaming on Netflix. It's a good movie to watch for the Halloween season. Very, very well acted, beautifully photographed, and quite a harrowing tale. Kind of scary, but I had a good time watching it. You know, good time in that sort of way. And our third movie today, Jill, which is called Lamb, which was directed by Valdimar Johansson, and which comes from Iceland. It's an Icelandic movie. Actually, it's a co-production from Iceland, Sweden, and Poland, but it's basically an Icelandic film, and it was filmed in Iceland. And, oh, we get a whole lot of Icelandic atmosphere in this movie. We start out, the very first image in the movie is a bunch of wild horses living out there in the tundra, or whatever exactly it's called in Iceland. And, oh, there is snow, and there is fog, and there is cold, and the snow and the fog and the cold stay there for the whole movie. This is maybe a good movie to watch before the real winter kicks in America, because there's a lot of very cold stuff in it. But we have two main characters, a couple named Maria and Ingvar, and they run a sheep farm. They raise, the movie is called Lamb, after all, and they raise sheep. And they're obviously very good at it, but they have no children. That's the thing. They have no kids. They just have their sheep. Then, very early in the movie, a new sheep is born. And for reasons that are not quite clear, when this little lamb is born, well, we've seen this happen before. We've seen a little lamb birthing going on early in this movie. Maria and Ingvar start giving each other strange looks and tender looks, and we realize that something different is going on, something unusual is going on, and the next thing you know, they're treating this little lamb as if it were a baby. They're putting it to sleep in a crib, they're wrapping it in a blanket, they're feeding it affectionately with a bottle and so forth. They're treating it as if it were a child. As time goes by and the little lamb, this special little lamb, starts to grow up, it turns out that the lamb is not exactly a lamb, but then again, it's not exactly a child either. After a while, we see this lamb walking around on two legs and hanging out of one, dressed in like clothing, like human clothing, and at the end of one arm is a hoof, like a lamb would have, but at the end of the other arm is a hand, like a person would have. So we have apparently here a sort of a lamb-person hybrid, and that's what makes this movie into sort of a horror movie. It's not a terrible horror movie, because this couple, Maria and Ingvar, they love this little, if it's an offspring of theirs, it's not clear how any of this happened, and they raise it tenderly and beautifully, and it's all very sweet. However, Maria's ne'er-do-well brother shows up. He's not all that much of a ne'er-do-well, but he's clearly somebody who is sort of bad news in a lot of ways, and he's always trying to come on to his sister-in-law, and there's stuff like that going on. And he does not approve of all this. He doesn't like this little lamb hybrid creature. He thinks that they're crazy. It's just a lamb, he says. Why are you treating it like a child, even though it's obviously not exactly like a lamb, although it's not exactly like a child either. And so tension comes in with this person. What is he going to do, and how is he going to eventually come to terms, or is he not going to come to terms with this as long as he stays around and keeps living with Maria and Ingvar and their very odd little offspring, if in fact it is their offspring. I certainly won't tell you how all this comes out. The trouble with Lamb, I found as a movie, is that it's very, very slow moving. I found it kind of lackadaisical. It's very, very atmospheric, and all of that Icelandic atmosphere is very, very vivid and beautifully photographed. And the acting, by the way, is terrific, too, as well, particularly by the woman who plays Maria, Noomi Rapace, who is a fine actor, and she does a very, very splendid job acting this part, which is kind of a difficult part because she's the one with the main interactions with the little lamb child. I wish the movie were tighter woven. I wish it moved a little more quickly. I wish there weren't quite so many slightly off-kilter shots of sort of nothing much in particular with ominous music playing on the soundtrack. But again, if you're looking for a sort of a mild-mannered, mostly mild-mannered horror movie to get you in the mood for Halloween, you could do a lot worse than Lamb. So that is my somewhat woman-centered story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you, as always, one of my favorite things to say, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films All About My Sisters, Fever Dream, and Lamb.